Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
Let's get it. Mike Sempervivi here with you for the next hour talking about professional wrestling, which is something we do every single day here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Tune in, iHeart, American Forces Radio, Cable Radio Network 2, SportsByline.com, over-the-air affiliates. Maybe you're listening via podcasting or watching us on Twitch or YouTube. However you're joining us today, I just want to say thank you. Hopefully wherever you are, it's sunny outside. If not, hopefully it's sunny inside your mind. It is Monday. You know what that means. No Brian. As he told you last week, for the next three Mondays, he is going to be on the road. As a result, Filthy Tom Lawler once again steps up and will be joining me. And as always, we have a lot to get into. And with Filthy being the site's expert analyst on SmackDown, we are going to get his thoughts on Friday's show, which featured that incredible promo between Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair.
Drinking in your daddy's basement.
That one. And of course, last night was the AEW Dynasty pay-per-view from Philadelphia. Two title changes on that show as Adam Cole won the TNT title and Bandito beat Chris Jericho to win the ROH World title. There seemed to be a lot of fans that wanted to see Swerve Strickland win the AEW World title from Jon Moxley, but that was not to be. The Young Bucks, who have not been seen on AEW television in months, return to help Moxley screw over Swerve Strickland. And that now leads into some interesting setups, because regardless of what you thought about last night's main event, we do have some storylines coming out of it. Plus, we have New Japan's Sakura Genesis, which took place over the weekend. We finally now have a full card for Windy City Riot, which is coming up on Friday. And I can get Tom's thoughts on that, as he's going to be wrestling TJP on that show, as well as his thoughts on MLW Battle Riot last Friday night, which he was involved in, and a whole lot more. We'll get it all started after the break. Wrestling Observer Live.
Know what's better than a limited time deal? An unlimited time deal. That's why the Wendy's $5 biggie bag with a junior bacon cheeseburger, four-piece nugs, junior hot and crispy fries, and small soft drink is available all the time. Because the best time for fresh, never frozen beef and applewood smoked bacon is all the time. Duh. I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot. For the best deal of all time, gotta be Wendy's.
Unlimited time does not mean forever. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California via third-party delivery. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Okay, let's have a little fun. Do you use the expensive blue pill to perform better? Are you thinking about it? So what if we can promise you results for less than $1 a pill? Okay, so these same pills can cost you $30 or more at a pharmacy. And our better blue pill works for less than $1 a pill. You'll save $29 or more per pill. And right now, we'll give you 120 blue pills for just $99. Have a little fun and call right now. Get 120 of our better blue pills for just $99. Don't overpay for the other blue pills. Call Steel Man Pills right now and get the better blue pill for less than $1 a pill. Call 1-800-BUY-BLUE, 1-800-BUY-BLUE. It's easy to remember. 1-800-BUY-BLUE. That's 1-800-BUY-BLUE. And thanks for calling.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Find what you love and love what you find. A Total Wine & More, the place to go for sipping rosés with seltzers on ice, making margaritas with your favorite tequilas. It's warm out, let's go. Our prices are low on spirits, beer, and wine. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the show. Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler here with you. Jim Valley joins you on Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and Andrew Zarian will be with you on Sunday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Through all the ways you are watching and listening to me right now, I'd also love it if you made the wrestling news part of your day. You can find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts, on YouTube or at the Wrestling News AV on X and Facebook. Every single day of the year, everything you need to know to get your day started, get you up to date, or get you to your favorite long-form review pod like Wrestling Observer Radio, a brand new one of those up there for subscribers right now, with Dave and Brian talking all about last night's AEW Dynasty pay-per-view, as well as WWE SmackDown from last Friday night. And without any other further ado, I bring into all of you our resident SmackDown expert and the greatest professional wrestler to ever appear on these airwaves. Yes, Lance Storm, I'm taking a shot at you. Filthy Tom Lawler. Filthy, what's up?
Not too much. I'm back here practicing my chair swinging so that I have the leg up on Lance, actually, in at least one aspect of professional wrestling.
You also seem to be working on your skills of the Kevin Sullivan, Jimmy Garvin, Prince of Darkness match, as your camera is apparently either not working or you just have everything in the darkness.
I may be on the wrong link, but I'll double check here.
I've got so many.
Yeah, you can listen to the sultry tones of my voice instead as I bring up the link. But big news coming out of SmackDown. I am here to analyze the fantastic promo segment, what everybody is talking about between Charlotte Flair and Tiffany Stratton. I know that's what's on your mind, Mike. I know that's what you want to talk about. So, as you said, without further ado, I am here. And without further ado, let's get down to this promo segment.
Charlotte and Tiffany with Wade Barrett in the ring, being volunteered, as he said, to make sure that there would be no physical violence taking place between these two people. And I'm sure everybody out there watching and listening has already heard about this promo, so we don't have to go over it like the Zapruder film. I kind of wanted to. I really wanted to piss off Dinkins in the YouTube chat and talk nothing but this promo all day and not talk about AEW Dynasty, but we can't do that. We can't do that. So,
are there files to uncover? you know, 60 years from now about this promo? Are we still going to be talking about this like the Zapruder film? Maybe we'll still be talking about it like a Patterson-Gimlet film.
Who knows? Hey, look, if Charlotte Flair does not recover, then we may be talking about it like that. We may have seen a murder like they saw in Dallas that day, in Arlington that day. Because Charlotte Flair was murdered on the microphone, at least it seemed to be by Tiffany Stratton, and it wasn't even by Tiffany Stratton. It was by the fans that rattled Charlotte so much during this promo that she not only went off script, she just gave up altogether, which apparently caused a lot of problems with Tiffany. And most of what was said on that show, for those who did not hear Dave and Brian talk about this, most of it was laid out and went the way it was supposed to go. A lot of the lines that people were oohing and aahing about, like the one about drinking in her daddy's basement at 25 and all this sort of stuff, that was all planned. What wasn't planned was Charlotte then giving up and then Tiffany hitting her with the 0-for-3 line about love and rolling out of the ring quickly. As Charlotte, all she could come up with is, "Kaiser's in my DMs." Tom, it was a weird segment.
Mike, what'd you say?
And that's the other thing.
I can't hear you, Mike. It's so squeaky.
Yeah, that's the other thing that was noted that got under Tiffany's skin is one thing that was not supposed to go down was Charlotte mocking her voice. So just this seemed to fall apart, and it fell apart because Charlotte fell apart with the fans just absolutely getting on her. And Ken, what did you think about just when it ended? What were your first initial thoughts?
It was a great piece of bitter, condescending, back and forth, argumentative promo. I mean, one of the best that I've seen. These two looked like they genuinely disliked each other. They hated what the other one was saying. They didn't want to be in there with each other in a sporting aspect. And I mean, I think if nothing else, it adds a great deal of intrigue to this match, because leading up till this past week, the whole talk around the match was Charlotte just burying Tiffany. If you listen to Brian Alvarez, especially, Tiffany's not ready for this spot. She's too green. She needs to work on herself as a baby face. And I thought that this, if nothing else, you know, even with the verbiage that they were supposed to get through, I mean, it gave Tiffany a little bit of an edge back, right? Tiffany was most effective, not as this sparkling baby face, but, you know, as a heel. And to have, she has not had that edge since she turned on Nia Jax and won the title. And I thought that this went a big way in, you know, legitimizing herself. I mean, she's obviously the champion, but legitimizing her as a threat to the top of the card and to Charlotte. You know, I thought leading up to this, I thought Charlotte was just going to run her over at Mania. But, you know, Tiffany kind of turned the tides this week, and the crowd was really, really behind her. Right when Charlotte came out, she's getting booed, and she goes, "You hear that? That's power." And then later on, they're booing her again, and Tiffany goes, "You know what? You hear that? You know what that is? That's power." And they were hot for Tiffy time the whole time from the beginning, and especially at the end when she dropped the 0-3 line and then paraded around with the title. They were going crazy. So if this ends up as some sort of shoot fight between the two of them at WrestleMania, that would be awesome. I'm all here for it. But even if it doesn't, at least people care about this match now. I mean, this was supposed to be the biggest draw for the women's division at WrestleMania, and up until Friday night, it surely wasn't.
It was not, and it is certainly intriguing on how that match is going to look.
Everybody, you know, not everybody, but a lot of people are online who, you know, obviously don't know anything about the situation, or like, "Oh man, what if Charlotte shoots on her? What if she beats Tiffany up?" It's like, I'll tell you something. I don't even know how old Charlotte is, but Tiffany is 25 years old. She is a spectacular athlete. And if nothing else, age is undefeated. You know what I mean? So while Charlotte may have the experience advantage, multiple time world champion, I'm sure she can handle herself in a fight. I'm sure Tiffany could also, you know, back herself up.
Well, it comes down to the hooks, doesn't it? Comes down to the grappling and the hook advantage, which I would actually give to Charlotte Flair, because when you look at it, it's like, okay, volleyball player against, you know, a gymnast, and obviously the age difference and all that sort of stuff. Wouldn't it just come down to who learned more? Did Charlotte learn more from her father than possibly Tiffany learned from, I guess, Greg Gagne on her way up and through the NXT system?
Maybe, you know, maybe she was a big fan of the Z-Man. I don't know.
So Charlotte got rattled badly by the crowd, which is something I never thought I would actually see. She does a good job playing the Ice Queen, does a tremendous job playing the Ice Queen most of the time, and no matter what it is, it just kind of bounces off of her. Since she has been back, it does seem like things have been getting to her a lot more, even though she's supposed to be a baby face. She's been a, you know, condescending heel baby face before. And, you know, the fact that everything is seemingly getting to her. I mean, there was a spot where Tiffany, they were going back and forth, and Tiffany's like, I can't hear you. And Charlotte just goes, because they're booing so loud. Like, and then kind of stopped, like, well, I don't think I meant to say my, you know, true feelings out loud. But it was something, and a lot of people have been waiting on Tiffany's downfall since the time she came up from NXT, because it did seem like she plateaued there. But the fact of the matter is, on the main roster, even though some of the matches haven't been great, and even though she hasn't been the most sterling, pure babyface we've ever seen, the crowd really likes Tiffany Stratton, and they are really behind Tiffany Stratton. We'll talk more about this, as well as AEW Dynamite, of course, when we come back from break. Wrestling Observer Live.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the show. Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Lawler here with you. Wrestling Observer Live. We're going to be getting into... Dom, what is the name of the show since I messed it up 17 times since last week? Oh, look at him. Not ready.
AEW Dolomite.
Dolomite? Is that what it was? Rudy Ray Moore was there? AEW Dynasty. I think I got that right this time. I don't know why I'm having so much of a problem with AEW's pay-per-view name this month, but Monday Night Raw is tonight in the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of Tiffany Stratton. She has not been announced for the show. Lyra Valkyrie against Bayley for the Women's Intercontinental title. The War Raiders against the New Day for the Tag Team title. Penta against Dominic Mysterio. El Grande Americano will be in action. Also appearing, Gunther, Jey Uso, Seth Rollins. Apparently CM Punk and Paul Heyman as well. And GM Adam Pearce, the most stressed out man in all of professional wrestling television, makes a decision on the Women's World title situation. We have a situation where Randy Orton now does not have an opponent for WrestleMania, as on SmackDown, Tom, Kevin Owens had to bow out. We heard about his neck surgery. He apparently is not happy with the word getting out about him needing neck surgery, but because of that, he is going to miss WrestleMania. Randy Orton now does not have an opponent unless former National Wrestling Alliance World Heavyweight Champion, no, not Adam Pearce, the other GM, Nick Aldis, steps up. Maybe could you handle that? Because I would love to see an Adam Pearce Nick Aldis match. If they work out a way where Aldis can't control Orton and they decide to do that, that could be a sneaky, surprising, fun match on one of those nights of Mania.
Yeah, it sure could. I don't know if they're going to go that route, or maybe Aldis has somebody doing his work for him. He brings in a mystery opponent, as he so loves to do for his SmackDown roster. It seems all the time, whether you're a babyface or a heel, you're going to face someone Nick Aldis has recruited, a mystery opponent. So that's what I would expect to see. I personally, I would like to actually see them hold off on Nick Aldis versus Randy Orton so that we could get that Nick Aldis versus Adam Pearce match. I thought we were going to get it, I believe, last year, but I think it would be great to see both those guys in there against each other just because of the symbolic nature of it. You know what I mean? Neither guy was a wrestler for the WWE as a contracted superstar. And then later on in their careers, they have these roles in which they're prominent figures on WWE TV. And to see them finally get a match and to have it be against one another, I think that would be awesome. But you know, I'm sure Nick Aldis would love to wrestle Randy Orton at WrestleMania as well.
Absolutely. But, you know, Mr. Smith, I don't have my readers on here. 0693,
LL Cool J?
Apparently in the Twitch chat, is my guess is Aldis gives Orton a mystery opponent who ends up being Malakai Black, which would be interesting. I don't know how often those two ever crossed paths the first time around. Obviously they have not, you know, shown him yet, but they've been leading to him coming back with vignettes on SmackDown. Or the other idea, which would be, I kind of like this one more for Orton, is Rusev coming back in a big position, because just seems to be, I don't want to say that Orton, I don't know, Orton and Rusev seems to be an easier, better matchup to jump into than maybe Malakai Black coming back in Orton, although it would be a hell of a way to get Malakai Black over.
Yeah, I don't know what the, you know, obviously I don't know what the plan was for Black coming back. I don't think it was, you know, a program with Orton, obviously, since Orton was going to be tied up with Kevin Owens. But, you know, you could have Randy Orton join up with The Rock and John Cena. I've seen that proposed by some people online. Your You're sighing over there.
I don't know about that one. I don't like that idea at all. Orton trying to, you know, be anywhere near The Rock. No thank you there. I'd actually rather see him get shoehorned into the Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre situation as another way to, you know, he's just completely ruining Drew McIntyre's life. I mean, I would almost rather go in that direction to have him linked up at all with The Rock in that situation.
You could just do nothing and, you know, have him get drafted over to Raw. Have a feud with somebody over there.
That is going to happen at some point. We are going to get this.
Orton versus Rollins.
That would be fine.
Orton
be
Punk.
Fine with that. That would be fine with me too. However, these things.
Orton versus Otis.
Stop it! Now we've gone too far. I don't know. And then again, Randy against El Grande Americano. I wouldn't mind seeing that either. But we shall move on here because New Japan's Windy City Riot show is now at a full card after New Japan's Sakura Genesis took place a couple of days ago. Hirooki Goto retained the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship over David Finlay. And before we get to his match at Windy City Riot, Tom, Brian had me convinced, and I started convincing myself, well, you know, pulling the trigger on Finlay wouldn't be such a bad idea at this time, but I'm happy with telling the story of Goto being the guy that passes a torch to somebody, or if it's the outsider and Finlay doing it. They seem to continue to roll with Hirooki Goto. You okay with him as the heavyweight champion still?
Yeah, I think so. I think Goto right now is the right choice to have that title. Like you mentioned, I think the idea is to eventually have him be the one that kind of passes on the torch to the next generation. I mean, Tanahashi's on his way out. Sure, you could tell the story, I guess, of Tanahashi coming back, winning the big one again at the Dome. And, you know, maybe he does that against Goto. But for right now, I think having Goto hold this championship at least through the G1, and I think all the way to the Tokyo Dome is the right call. I don't think it's hurting business. If anything, it's helped business a little bit. So yeah, keep that belt on him. It's odd, right? Because especially if you look at this Windy City Riot show, I mean, I don't think Shota Umino is beating Goto for this belt.
No way.
And it's almost as if, like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? The show isn't built around Goto defending that title. There's the depth in New Japan right now is, I think, one of the unsung, I guess you could say, the unsung characteristics that it has. Because there's a lot of talent in the mid-card in New Japan. And they just need a couple people to break through up into that upper echelon.
This show is really the end of a generation. It really, really is. And I don't know what the ticket sales have been for this show. I haven't looked at the WrestleTix gimmick in a while to see how many seats have been sold to Wintrust Arena in Chicago. But Hirooki Goto defending the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship against Shota Umino. Next time they come to the States, next time they come to Chicago, I can see Goto not being that champion. You know, and when you add in to Hiroshi Tanahashi having his last match in the United States against Kenosuke Takeshita, and the possibility of Tetsuya Naito, who I could see coming to the States if he leaves New Japan, but he apparently is working without a contract right now. He and Hiromu just dropped the IWGP tag titles. His match teaming with Titan against Rocky Romero and El Fantasmo may also be the last time you see Naito in a New Japan ring in the States.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I hadn't even, you know, considered. But obviously, Naito is not in his top physical shape of his life due to all the injuries and medical concerns. Mike, I'm looking at the WrestleTix right now, and it says the setup, current setup, 4552, and tickets distributed almost 4,000. So not too bad for Windy City Riot so far there.
No, not bad at all. And again, it's going to be interesting to see if there is what kind of walk-up there is, because again, you know, with Tanahashi, that's it. You're not going to see him anymore. And I know that gets threatened a lot in pro wrestling, but you're not going to see him wrestle in the States anymore. He may be here as a representative in the future, surely. But this match with Kenosuke Takeshita, It's going to be interesting. Zack Sabre Jr. against David Finlay, Tetsuya Naito and Titan, as I mentioned, against Rocky and El Phantasmo. 30-minute Ironman match, New Japan Strong Openweight Championship, Gabe Kidd, Tomohiro Ishii, and what I think most people have already attached 5 stars to as the match of the night before it's happened. Turncoats, Royce Isaacs and Jarrell Nelson defend the Strong Openweight Tag Team titles against Kushida and Kevin Knight. Women's title number one contender match, Mina Shirakawa against Izumi. Winner challenges Mercedes at Resurgence on May 9th. I saw Mercedes use a version of the Izumi sushi. At least that's the way I looked at that, Tom. Was that the tip-off last night, her win over Julia Hart? Think she's going to face off against Izumi at that show?
Buddy, that was not a version of the Izumi sushi.
It was her version.
It was a crucifix with a leg hooked.
Well, she kept rolling out of the bank statement. And she kept
her and Julia Hart were countering each other with the bank statement
exactly.
And the heartless.
But she rolled her up.
Izumi sushi
can come from anywhere
with a leg hooked.
Jeez, fine. Filthy Tom Waller against TJP. You got any nasty words for TJP?
Yeah, you know,
I'm gonna
analyze his moveset like I just did Izumi and Mercedes Moné's, and I'm going to use that to my advantage. He said, oh, what a battle between two catch wrestlers. So, you know, I propose no strikes. How about that, buddy? I'll beat you on the mat. I'll tie you up into knots, you Poindexter. Get out of here.
On the front page, up there right now, Dave Meltzer posted a story about the post-pay-per-view press conference. We'll get into a few notes coming out of that, as well as the pay-per-view itself, AEW Dynasty, when we come back, Wrestling Observer Live.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out collection letters, garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it even harder to get out of debt. Don't let tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, America's number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in taxpayer assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Let them fight on your behalf, helping to put your tax problems to rest. Call the tax professionals at Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733. 800-833-0733.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back on the show, Mike Sempervivi and Filthy Tom Walter here with you. You never know, we could be having some guests pop in at any time. I'm not going to promise anything, but you never know. Isn't that right, Tom?
Yeah, we had a little run-in while we were off the air, but no promises.
What is happening there? Can you hear that? Is that your house?
That is not my house, but let's soldier on here.
On the soldier front page, through. On the front page right now, Dave Meltzer's story for subscribers about the post-pay-per-view press conference of Tony Khan last night after AEW Dynasty. The attendance at the LaCoura Center, according to Dave, ended up at 7923, which was 422 tickets shy of capacity as they opened up seats late when the production team moved in and they had some space and they didn't move all of those tickets. Khan's only mention of the ticket sales was that they had more people in the crowd than they did at last year's show in St. Louis. The Young Bucks apparently did not arrive at the building until 10 p.m. Eastern time. They didn't keep them sequestered or secret as people saw them, but they did come late enough that they did not want the, obviously it was set up so word would not get out too much before they made their appearance in the main event. And apparently that there were also constant changes regarding segments and match order backstage up until the start of the show. The Trios Championship match in particular was changed more than once, writes Dave. The decision to open with Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight was also not finalized until just before the show started. Dave also mentions that Bryan Danielson was backstage working at the show as part of his creative role with the team. And Dave writing that the two are very aligned, meaning Bryan and Tony Khan, when it comes to tastes in pro wrestling. Dave also noted that Josh Matthews, who was recently let go by TNA, was working backstage, as well as Scotty Riggs, the former Flock member and American Male, making an appearance backstage at the show as well. When it gets right down to it, this has brought up a lot about AEW shows. It was very, very long. And a lot of times, Tom, in my opinion, even if I don't love everything they do on there, they supersize those shows and their fans seem to love it, tend to love it, because there's a lot on the show that they say is, that was for me, that was really good. I don't know if these matches from top to bottom ended up being as great as past AEW cards, which I think added to some of the fatigue as it went along. But what did you think about the show, which I thought was good, but again, boy, was it unfortunately kind of a slog at times to get through.
Yeah, as I look back through my notes and as I watched it as well, obviously it was a long show. You know, actually, in Dave's report, he mentioned the Young Bucks didn't get to the building until 10 p.m. They did a run-in in the main event, and they didn't get there until 5 hours into the pay-per-view portion of the show. Is that correct? That tells you how long of an event it was. But when I look back through my notes, there was nothing that was bad. There were some, what I would say were really, really good matches. Kevin Knight, Will Ospreay, which opened it up. I was really intrigued, actually, by the Hurt Syndicate against the Learning Tree, because I wanted to see how much was Big Bill going to get. And to be fair, the answer was quite a bit from the Hurt Syndicate. They actually played heels for the majority of the match and gave Big Bill the big hot tag, and he looked like a monster out there. Mercedes and Julia had some weird moments, but the crowd loved it. And everything, like I said, everything was good. Fletcher and Mark Briscoe, these two cannot miss. They're kind of like Andrade and Melo. Just put them in there. Let them have a best of seven or best of 40 that we never talk about. Let them go at it. Jericho and Bandido, I thought was good, but it didn't need to be on this show. I thought it could have been on a different show with actually a bigger spot, made it more, made the stakes feel higher. We had a world championship going against a mask for a luchador, and I thought that they could have, they could have headlined a Dynamite and maybe gotten more out of it. Daniel Garcia lost to Adam Cole. Ricochet, Speedball, and Omega was just fantastic from start to finish. If you're going to watch one thing from the show, that would be the one to watch, because they did so many creative three-way spots in that AEW International title match that you're never going to see again. You're not going to see them in other three-way matches because most of the time the guys aren't at this level. And I thought everybody here was awesome. They went around 30 minutes, and the finish was one of the coolest ones I've seen in a long time. Omega's going for the one-winged angel on Mike Bailey, but Ricochet pushed them towards the ropes. So Bailey ends up sitting on the ropes, kind of hooked into him. Omega and Ricochet also end up on the top rope. Ricochet goes for a top rope Poison Rana, but Omega lifts him in the air, hits an avalanche one-winged angel, and is just far away enough from Mike Bailey, who was hung in the Tree of Woe.
Yeah, that Bailey could not, Tree of Woe.
He could not break up the pin. And just from start to finish, one of the most creative matches I've ever seen in wrestling. So if you watch one thing from that show, that's what I would make it. And then, we could talk about this main event if you want.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add in on the three-way is in hindsight being 2020, it went a little bit too long because I did think they lost them. And yes, it's not like they lost the crowd completely, because a lot of the night was people having to fight and get the crowd into the match, like Monet and Julia. It was hampered at first, but the more the crowd got into it as it went along. But Okada coming down and the Okada Omega match, I know it means a lot, and it's not going to be, I wouldn't think, the main event of All In. I still think they need to get a lot more behind Okada for that to be as impressive a match as it would have been 5 years ago, and as impressive as it was 5 years ago in New Japan. I think they need to get a lot more behind Okada to kind of get him up to Omega's level, because Omega in this match was fantastic, as you mentioned. Those three-way spots were incredible. If you don't like these three guys, there's nothing we can tell you that will make you like the match or want to see it. Speedball Mike Bailey is the king of the scramble, that is for sure, because three-way matches with him being involved in it just seemed to be perfect. But we'll also,
the hardest I've ever been kicked in my life.
By Bailey?
Is by Speedball Mike Bailey.
Damn. John Moxley defeated Swerve Strickland to retain the AEW World title in the main event, 31-14. Again, this went too long, especially since the damn thing started at damn near midnight. They started off the match by wrestling. And this is just like the Moxley match last time around, where you have all this chaos that happens. You're supposed to be in a blood war, and they start off by... And again, no offense, as somebody who's a black belt in jiu-jitsu, Tom, but as they're going back and forth here, I'm thinking this should be more rings than it is, the grappling battle that they're having. And I get they want to show off their skills, but why they didn't hammer each other early and then have to resort to using, some mat stuff for them to start with it. I know they were going to do the match, but I don't know if we needed the first 8 or 9 minutes, to be frank with you. And I don't think the fans did either, because it took until Moxley broke the ladder out from underneath the ring damn near 10 minutes in before the crowd was really up for it.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about, I'm analyzing Moxley's work in my head and thinking about all the different shoot fighters and shoot style guys that we've seen in the past. And to me, Moxley, especially in this match, it should have been more Kazunori Murakami, than submission grappling.
Yes, I do.
Grappling.
I know what you mean. I don't know if everybody else does or not, but yes, you're exactly right. But long story short, Moxley went for chokes. He had a triangle, a rear naked, went for a bulldog choke. Swerve kept escaping all of them. About 20 minutes in, Swerve hit what I believe was his second house call kick of the night. Before he had a chance to go for a pin, Marina got into the ring with a briefcase. Nana stopped her, but she hit him with the briefcase. Moxley then went for a cutter, I think it was, but Swerve moved out of the way. He blind hit Schaefer with it. He then went outside. Moxley did set up a ladder, which eventually ended with Swerve double foot stomping him through the announce desk. A few more minutes went by. Moxley picked up a chair, threw it at Swerve, who ducked. It hit referee Paul Turner, which killed him. No other referees come running out for the rest of this, the duration of this match. Swerve then hit the 187. Both guys were down, which is when Hangman Page came to the ring. He lined up for a buckshot lariat. He looked both ways, kind of teased on who he might hit. As he was doing that, he got jumped by Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta. Yuta went for a running knee on him. He missed and ended up hitting Claudio. Page cleared the ring of all of them, hit Moxley with a deadeye. Claudio then grabbed Page, dragged him outside the ring, which is when the ops ran down to help, fought everybody off. Swerve then hit Moxley with a chair and then another double foot stop from the top rope. Before he could go for the pin, that's when the lights went out and the Young Bucks showed up. They delivered a double V-trigger to Swerve. Moxley rolled over, got the pin. Paul Turner, who had been dead that whole time, also rolled over, counted to three. John Moxley stole your world champion. I thought Hangman Page would be the next guy, but it seems as if with what went down and the fact that Hangman was still laying out there when the show went off the air, it's Hangman and Swerve against the Young Bucks. If that's the case, boy, are we really waiting for Darby Allin to come back before John Moxley drops that title?
This Darby Allin thing. This guy's doing one of the most dangerous things that you can do on the planet. You know
Literally.
What I mean?
Yeah.
People die doing this climb all the time. I mean, like... I hope he's back, and I hope he wins the title one day.
I just don't know, but I don't want it to be one day because I think that's one of the big problems here is how long...
He could just be gone. He could go do another side quest.
I don't know. I am intrigued by... Look, it makes sense, you know, because the Young Bucks at some point will put over Hangman and Swerve, I would have figured, but that seems to be the direction they're going. You called this, and I wasn't big on the idea of the ops going after... the trio's title because I like Samoa Joe as a single. He can lead the group, but I wasn't thrilled about that. But that looks to be the direction that they're going in. And just because Bandito and Chris Jericho is going to be the next match we talk about, it seems as if they needed to put that match on this show and they had to do it, not because they couldn't wait and put Bandito and Jericho on another show, but it seems like it might have more to do with Big Bill because... You talked about what he got out of that match. Yes, he got in a lot of offense, but he's also getting something out of this, which seems to be a singles program with MJF, which is very interesting to me and a big deal for Big Bill.
Yeah, well, listen, the crowd loves Big Bill. They've loved this guy for years now, and he was, as they mentioned, one of the 12th teams, the 12th tag team champions in AEW history, no mention of his partner at all during that tag title reign. But the crowd wants Big Bill in a bigger spot, and I'm all for it. He's awesome. If you said, hey, you saw this guy in the street, you go, what's this guy do for a living? I'd go, that guy should be a pro wrestler. So more Big Bill, the better. Oh, here
Bandito
we go.
Bandito defeated Chris Jericho to retain the ROH title, as we mentioned, a trick finish that ended with Jericho, with Bandito's family calling out Jericho and letting Aubrey Edwards know to tell Bryce Remsburg that there was...
Bandito's family doing a run-in?
Basically, yeah, they were invited to come on the apron.
I could hear them in the background.
GTS was hit 21-plex and the victory was gotten. And those matches suffered because of the addition of Kyle Fletcher and Mark Briscoe on the show, which we will get to after the break of Wrestling Observer Live.
Listen up, guys. Are you experiencing any of the following? Fatigue. Less drive, poor performance? If so, you may be one of the nearly 30 million men in the U.S. today dealing with ED. But did you know you don't have to pay hundreds for a prescription anymore? And you don't have to deal with the hassle of seeing the doctor or the embarrassment of going to the pharmacy for a certain pill. Now, with one free call, you can find out how Herbal Virility Max can help you feel like a man again. For over a decade, Herbal Virility Max has helped guys just like you put a smile back on their face with improved performance and drive. Call today and ask about our buy one, get one free offer.
800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. 800-773-5112. That's 800-773-5112.
All aboard!
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Now you can get the incredible weight loss results that thousands of people have had with the top name brand prescription weight loss products, all in the comfort of your own home. With this free offer from New Hope Weight Loss, yes, generic versions of the popular weight loss prescription products are available now by you simply making a phone call. You'll save hundreds of dollars over traditional retail pricing. When you call right now, you'll speak with one of our virtual doctors and they'll provide your prescription and we'll send you your medication. It's that easy. And you'll be on your way to your weight loss journey in a matter of days. And when you order today, we'll waive the $100 doctor's fee. This product is not covered by your insurance. It's only $199 a month. Call right now to learn more.
800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. 800-281-8944. That's 800-281-8944.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the show. Mike Sempervive, Filthy Tom Lawler, and some special guests
who you will not see on the
show. I'm here. Okay, Tom, we don't have much time. I believe that Bandido and Chris Jericho, that show, that match being taken off and then Kyle Fletcher and Mark Briscoe being added, honestly, I thought that actually hurt the show in that Fletcher and Briscoe, I thought was, in my opinion, for me, the best match on the show. And putting that match on there, I think, did damage to Bandido and Jericho, which came after it, and Adam Cole and Daniel Garcia, because it just seemed to be that when those two matches hit, there was a little bit more for Bandido and Jericho, but man, Cole and Garcia had no heat for it.
Well, brother, we're talking like 3.5 hours into the show.
True.
You know, and you're looking at the lineup and you're like, holy crap, we still got more title matches to come. So yeah, I think it was a case of just too much on this show, and they could have spread it out a little bit. Hey, I would have had no problem tuning in to Max like I do every Wednesday and watching Bandido and Chris Jericho headline a Dynamite. I would have loved that because I thought that match was good. I thought Garcia and Cole was good, and they're not going to get any credit just because, as you mentioned, that Mark Briscoe and Fletcher, they can't miss.
Tony Storm went over Megan Bain in a match that may have gone too long, but really showed off what Bain's potential could be and how good Tony Storm is right now. As everybody knows, FTR turned on Copeland. Mercedes Moné defeated Julia Hart. The Hurt Syndicate defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith. And Will Ospreay opened the match up with a great match against Kevin Knight. Now let's start giving Kevin Knight a couple of victories here. because this situation was a great example of why you don't debut somebody who you like Kevin Knight and have him lose, even if it's to try to get him over like they did with Jay White. Filthy, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. I want to thank all of you out there for joining me today. I want to thank those two people who are over in Brian's office right now for joining us today, and we shall talk to you again after a while.